Okay, it's a little bit early, but we'll start anyway, and then maybe we can end a few minutes early. Let's continue on. We're looking at four qualities of successful leaders. This is taken from Gallup's book, Strength-Based Leadership. Gallup did something that's interesting. Most leadership books are based on interviewing successful leaders or based on examining the career of one particular successful leader. But Gallup tried something different. Instead of interviewing leaders to find out leadership principles, let's interview followers. And so they did a massive survey of 10,000 followers, and their primary thing they were looking for is, what's the qualities of leaders that you follow voluntarily? Now, that's an important word there, because there are some leaders we follow because they're our boss. So we have to. But they're looking for qualities that they would follow a person voluntarily. Not because it's on the org chart, that's their job, but that's the kind of person, these are the qualities that they admire, and they will follow a person with those qualities. And they found four qualities. And they found them in this particular order, 1 through 4. So the first quality of a successful leader is, successful leaders build trust. That shouldn't surprise you. We've got our pyramid over here. Successful leaders do this. And because of that, they get results. Now, when we think about trust, what does it take to build trust? I think we have to think on several different levels. I used to be a part of a Christian organization many years ago, and trust was important and it was emphasized. But the primary way trust was emphasized is the importance of followers to trust leaders. That was the primary emphasis. Followers, 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 the emphasis on the followers trusting the leaders. I discovered in reading the Bible that the Bible puts most of the emphasis on the leaders to be trustworthy. There is an emphasis that believers and followers have to trust their leaders, but the main emphasis of the Bible is that the leaders have to be trustworthy. And that was a new thought for me, a new emphasis. Actually, I discovered that it's unwise to trust an untrustworthy leader. So trust always starts with the leader. And I remember some situations where a particular leader would challenge me or someone else, "Do you trust me?" And of course, the only acceptable answer that you could give then was yes. But in reality, I realized that there's different layers and levels of trust. And actually, I got three. I'll give them to you. And they all start with a C, which is nice. Character. Do you trust the leader's character? Would I trust that person to lead my life personally? Number two, competence. Would I trust him to lead me organizationally? Now, I want to compare, without using names, two leaders that have been in my life over the last 35 years. One particular leader, when it came to character, I didn't trust him. But when it came to competence, did he have the organizational skill to lead the organization? Yes. So trust is a little bit more nuanced than just, do you trust me, yes or no? Another leader I'm thinking about, when it comes to character, my trust is implicit. As a matter of fact, when I think about that person, if my family was in trouble, if we were under attack, if we had a major problem, that person would be one of the first people in the world I would call. I would trust him to care about me, my family, his character. He would take care of the situation, anything he could do. But I would never willingly work for him again. When it came to competence at an organizational level, I didn't trust him. As far as his character, impeccable. His ability to lead a growing organization, no. Whereas with the other person, it was completely the opposite, you see. So as leaders, we not only have to produce trust in our followers based on our character, but also our competence. And I think competence is not just that you could, as a leader, you know how to do everything. One of my best friends, a man named Greg Tipton, he runs our short-term missions program, 10 days. And we've been great friends and worked together in a lot of different projects. He is just, he's got a new position now. We've sort of merged three of our departments in the Nashville office. I'm the department head over our school of ministry. He's been running our 10 days. We have an Every Nation campus department and then an MPD. And so we've merged those four departments into a kind of a super department with him in charge. Now, I have complete trust for Greg Tipton. First of all, his character is impeccable, but his competence level. Now, what I mean by that is he is, for the most part, and he would agree with this, a terrible administrator, an organizer. And he doesn't know how to think strategically or to do those kind of things as an organization. But, and this is a competence, and I trust him in this, he knows that about himself. And he knows how to get people that have that competency, bring them on the team, and trust them. You see? So, do I trust him to lead our team and to build a growing organization? Yes. Now, is his competence level such that just by himself he could do it? No. So competence doesn't mean that you can do everything, but you recognize what you can't do. And you trust people who can do those things. You listen, you bring them on the team, and you give them a significant role. So we need to convince our leader, our followers, that they can trust our character, our competence. Even when we really don't know what we're doing, we know enough to get somebody in, to ask the right questions to get someone who does. And I think the third area of trust is compassion. Does the leader care about me? The first book that Gallup wrote, you know, Gallup's the Strength Finders people, and the first book they wrote on this line was called First, Break All the Rules. First, Break All the Rules. And what they did is they examined, I think they examined 101 organizations in 40 different nations, large major organizations. And the goal of the survey was to determine what's the difference between a great manager and a good manager. And they had some very specific metrics to determine what was great and what was good. What's the difference between those who, according to all the metrics, you would have to say these were great, above everybody else, and those who were good? Good managers, good leaders. What was the difference? And it's interesting what they found. They found two things, but they found that the great leaders broke some of the sacred rules of management. Some of the sacred rules. For example, one of the sacred rules of management is the company comes first. Your first commitment is to the organization that hired you. That's first. The great managers broke that rule, and they put their employees' personal interests higher than the interests of the company. Isn't that interesting? Counterintuitively, not what you would expect, they found that these great managers who showed so much care for their employees that they really cared more about the employees than their own department or their own organization. To such an extent that if an employee received a possible another job offer or an opportunity, the employer the manager would encourage them to take it. Now, anybody who's in organizations know that one of the most expensive costs that an organization have is employee retraining. When you have a turnover, especially at a high level, a person who's had a high-level job, now you have to replace and put someone new. There's a loss of productivity. There's a period of time that person has to catch up. That's one of the major economic drains on an organization. And so you would think that the great managers would try to keep their talent. But the great managers communicate, I'm more concerned about you. And if you got a better job, I'm for it 100%. Even encouraging them to look. You know what they found, those great managers? They had the highest rate of employee retention. They attracted, number one, the best talent, and they kept the best talents longer than anybody else. While at the same time, encouraging them to go other places. Because what it produced is the people there realized, this person cares more about me than the company. I won't find that anywhere else. And people would turn down higher paying jobs to stay and work for that person. That's compassion. Those are the three areas, I think, that as leaders, we have to communicate trust to our people so they trust us, our character, our competence, and compassion. Do we care more about them or the job that I got to get done for my organization? Second thing, successful leaders, and it ties right into what we just said, show compassion. Show compassion. They cared about people. Gallup's asked 10 million people to respond to this one item. They say yes or no. My supervisor seems to care about me as a person. My supervisor cares about me as a person, not just what I contribute. Those who said yes to that question, Gallup found they were, number one, significantly more likely to stay with the organization. Number two, they had more engaged customers. People liked them and stayed with them longer. They were substantially more productive than those who couldn't say yes to that question. And they produced significantly more profitability for the organization. All because the supervisor, the manager, the leader communicated that he cared, she cared, more about that person than the organization. These are the people that followers follow willingly. Those who build trust, those who show compassion. Number three, successful leaders provide stability. Provide stability. In the midst of a changing world, a changing workforce, if you've worked for Every Nation for Victory for any length of time, you know one of the characteristics is change. Constantly changing the organization, right? Senior pastors going from one place to another, lead pastors changing, constant movement all the time. But in the midst of constant change, which is the nature of most organizations, successful leaders create stability. People feel that even though there's all change, there's something stable, there's something rock solid about who we are, what we're doing, where we're going. And that ties into our last one and connects, is that successful leaders create hope. Create hope. Now, what we mean by that is they inspire vision. You see, they convince the employee that by working here, they will be able to fulfill the dreams that are in their heart. They create hope. All of us have things that in our life we want to accomplish and we want to do. Great leaders convince people, they create hope in them, that by being here in this organization, those dreams that they have, they can see them fulfilled. Now, these last two, provide stability and create hope, are somewhat in tension with one another. Because stability is that never-changing sort of providing the ongoing rock-solid substrata of a person's life, whereas hope is visionary, reaching into the future. Both of them connect. See, psychologists have found the two great needs of the human heart. And this is not biblical, but I think it has biblical truth to it. They tell the two great needs of the human heart are security and significance. Security and significance. And of course, those two sort of are in conflict with one another. Because significance requires risk. Chance, I might fail. I mean, if there's not a possibility that you could fail and fail famously, you're probably not going to achieve much significance. And yeah, that's counterproductive or counterintuitive to create security. But good leaders know how to do both. And I found I was working with one particular organization, will remain nameless. This organization, I think they're probably the best I've seen in creating hope, providing vision. People who would join this organization, be a part, they did because of a strong sense of vision, where we're going, the possibility that while I'm here, all of my great dreams, I can see them fulfilled here. So people were following, and there was quite an inflow of people who caught the vision, and hope was kindled in their heart. But over time, what happened is the leaders couldn't also at the same time provide stability. And so they'd start down this one road. We're going to do this. This is a great new program. It'd go for a while, and then it would sort of filter out, and then they would do something else. And then that wouldn't work, and they would do something else. And so people who joined with great hope eventually became jaded, disgruntled, and didn't believe anymore. Yeah, okay, a new thing, right? Yeah, tell me when that one fails, and we'll see what you got next. So you have to do both of these, creating hope, but also providing stability, following through on the things that were done. Now, here's what we're going to do. What Gallup did in strength-based leadership is they took all the various different themes. You know, there's 34 of them. And then they, under each one of these four categories, build trust, show compassion, provide stability, and create hope. Under those four, they looked at how, in your particular theme, you could do those things. So what I want you to do, let me see your actual notes here. I won't read all the little scribbles you've got there. What's that little note? Paul Barker is an awesome teacher. Yeah, I like that. It's a nice little note. Okay, under each of your top three themes. Now, I'm hoping that we've all done Strength Finder here. Is that true? Yeah. So you all know your themes? Yes? Okay, good. Pick one, or we're going to do pick three, actually. And then I want you to write it down. You know, like theme number one. So like for me, that would be context, okay? Then I want you to think about that. How could I use that theme to build trust, to show compassion, provide stability, and create hope? Let's just do one, okay? And you can do the rest for your homework assignment. But I want you to take about 10 minutes now and go. Take the top theme, the one that you like the most, or the only one you remember, or whatever. Write that down, and then start thinking. Based on that, like, what did you write?
Positivity.
Positivity, great. Okay, good. So how can, with your positivity theme, get practical? How could you build trust based on the way you're wired? And then go down the list. Okay, great. Any question on that? Clear? Go. This is an exercise for your sake, but it's fun to share with others. So, Rhea, why don't I pick on you?
Oh. Me?
Oh,
which
Rhea? Yeah. I'm sorry, I was looking at you, so
yeah.
You're the lucky one today.
Oh.
Were
here the last time I was here, Rhea?
Yes.
Okay. Are there some new people, though? Okay. Two Rhea's.
So one...
Rhea, what did you list as your theme?
My developer.
Developer, great.
Yes.
Okay, so go down the list and tell us something practical.
Build trust. I will encourage them that with their skills and strengths, they can do the job and give them work assignments, tasks, little by little, one at a time, so their confidence level increases.
Yeah.
And show compassion. I will tell them to take their offsets, because in our department, there's a lot of events. Events, and we're even
partner
relations office. So we hold banquets.
Is this for the building?
Yes. And then we are, there are Sundays that we have work. We man the booth outside the assembly hall. So when you're assigned on a Sunday, so you have to take the Monday off. So I encourage them to take offset, and even if they say, "Ah, it's okay, we have plenty of work," but I encourage them to rest.
Yeah.
And when they're late, I ask them, "Why are you late? Something happened?" I have a staff who has a 4-year-old daughter, so when she's late, I need to wake her up. I need to bring her to my mother-in-law. You know, those stuff, and provide stability. This is where. I don't know if it's my answer is correct. Yeah. I asked them to, because there are three people in our office. So when each of them has different assignment.
Yeah.
So I encourage them to know what the other is doing, what the other one is doing, so that when suddenly one is absent, gets sick. The other one knows how to do the job.
Yeah.
So,
okay,
create hope. Well, I tell them that there are more missionaries coming in, so we need to improve our handling of their support. So we need them here. We need my staff here to develop new process. So that we can serve more missionaries.
Yeah. So you handle not only the building fund, but our ongoing, our life box and our missionaries?
Yes, MPD. That's right.
I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Great. Jack, would it be fun if we call on you? Am I not? You want me on?
Thank you. Go ahead, Jack. What did you list as your theme?
Command. Really had a hard time showing compassion if you have this command theme. I'll give it a try. Okay?
Start with build trust.
Build trust. That we can finish the job.
We
can finish the job by delegating it properly, something like that. I mean, that's how command works. That's what I understand.
How's that building trust?
Yeah. That we, no matter what happens, we're still focused on the goal. We're still keep on going.
Okay, maybe let's back up here, okay? So the assignment, maybe I wasn't clear. Or maybe I was clear. Maybe you're confused.
Either.
I got him. He came back from the dead.
Sorry.
So the assignment is look at one of your themes and how you could use that theme to build trust in people who follow you. Is that clear? Yes? Now start again, okay? So how would you use the command theme to build trust.
Oh, if that's the case, I might need to pass the mic to other people. Because
so you were confused.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
What were you thinking? No, I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean, what were you thinking? I meant, what were you thinking? Dude, what were you thinking?
Well, that's, I think I got it all mixed up with how are you going to use your themes or your themes to be a better leader or
building trust. So if I'm following you, this is a scary thought, okay. I'm following you.
It's okay.
You're my leader.
Once you know it.
And you're wanting to build trust in me for you. Mm-hmm. Got that? How would you use the command theme to help me trust you more?
Well, right now I can think of parang it's like ensuring you that we're going to finish the job. Is that
sound okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, because if you have a command theme, we'll get it done. That's it.
You may die in the meantime, but we're going to get it done.
Yes. That's why.
Trust me.
I am having a hard time to get to the next point, showing compassion.
Okay.
Well, pumasok. Okay. Parang I'll make sure if to show compassion using my command theme is that I'm going to make sure that the personal issues are addressed. I mean, really being concerned with the people. The personal issues are addressed properly and really being concerned with them.
Yeah, I think you said that. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you have a command team, you have like parang presence. You like things going, and you always stating the obvious or something like that.
Okay. So then, how would you provide stability?
Next.
Yes. Number three.
Yeah, that's like provide stability. That
Can you just read what you wrote? Or no, you can't.
No matter what happens, we'll keep on going. Something like that.
Yeah, you said that already, didn't you? Same thing for security, huh?
Yeah.
What you got for hope?
Finishing the job. if we finish the job accurately, this will make an impact to the organization. Something like
okay.
that.
Yeah. Maybe you should go back and try to think through that one
yes.
a little differently. Yeah.
Thank you. Nico?
Okay, who else? Yeah, great. Go ahead. I can't see your name there.
Chai.
Yeah, like the T.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I volunteered because I really wanted to know if I got it
okay,
correctly.
Okay, good. Chai, you can be confident of one thing. I will tell you the truth.
Yeah, I know. I trust you.
Thank you.
My number one theme is individualization.
Oh, good. Good.
And I felt like since it's kind of related to being relational in the team, building trust, I think by being able to relate to each individual differently according to their character, and by establishing a good working relationship with them, I might be able to easily relate to each of them and make them feel comfortable in the workplace.
Yeah.
And probably they can open up to me as their leader, whatever they're going through, may it be work-related or even to their personal, you know, in their family. Or
You may be interested to know, I told you earlier in the book, First Break All the Rules, that they broke two rules. I told you one of them, the second rule of management, the golden rule that you learn in all the management schools, is you treat every employee the same. Now, the great managers broke that rule. They treated each person as an individual, knowing that some people are motivated by one thing. Some people like personal affirmation. Others like gifts. Various different ways that people are motivated. And the great leaders were able to recognize that and motivate people differently. So that sounds like what you're saying.
Yeah, so I'm on the right track.
You're on the right track. Keep going, though. Show compassion.
Show compassion. Again, since I'd be able to relate with them, I could easily and, I can genuinely show compassion to them because I cannot fake that. If I'll be able to establish a good relationship and working relationship with them, then I could easily show compassion to them by, you know, even in a simple conversation during a certain hour in the workplace.
But I think the thing that really shows compassion, that you treat each employee separately and differently. So that communicates, I'm not just a cog in a machine. Mm-hmm. I'm not just a minion. I'm an actual person that matters and that my boss recognizes the unique differences about me. So that's a way to show and demonstrate compassion.
Okay? Thank you.
Keep going.
Stability. Provide stability. Knowing their individual need and their weaknesses. So I'd be able to provide coaching and can easily determine what training they need.
Yeah.
So that they'd feel competitive and they could produce beyond what is expected from them. So they could have this stability in the workplace.
Yeah, great. And then the last one, create hope.
Creating hope, I think if they feel like they're being taken care of and being heard, I think it will give them hope.
Yeah. Wonderful. You did great. All right. The pizza's here. Is that pizza? Praise him. Okay. So let's take our break.